mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky,
there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glory known. And clouds arise and tempests flow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows light from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Alone to
temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? But when my soul needs manna from above,
battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's Him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. That is where victory comes from, beneath the cleansing flood. It comes from Christ and Christ alone. That's where our victory comes. That's how we have it. That's how God ordained it. That's how it will always be. Victory will always come through Jesus, through the person of Christ. Not a system of Christianity, but a person. It is the system that flows from the person, or the systematic theology, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it, that flows from the person of Christ. Always and forever, we must remember that, and God will always bring us back to that place of simplicity in Christ Jesus when we need it so badly in our lives and in our walk with God. So we are going to talk about some things here today that I believe will be a help to you, that God showed me yesterday and this morning as I continued to study them out. And when I looked at them, I'm in Mark chapter 5, and I didn't get very far before I was like, well, I'll put this together. And, you know, or I'll just do this devotion here for me, and I'm doing this devotion, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is getting gooder and gooder. And I really believed it ought to be shared with others and to be a help to you in your walk with Christ. I wanted to get a grasp of some things. I'll talk about that in a minute here. Let's see. Man, I'm not saying this to brag. I am just so busy right now with everything. Still trying to get my bearings straight from everything. Still trying to get where I need to be with everything, with moving and commuting and settling in and getting broadcast done and sermon work and adding in preaching on Saturdays and my Baptist history stuff and all these things. It's just boom, 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 boom. And then extra things that I have to do for the house and for everything else. And I feel like I'm just going, I'm just being stretched and to the max right now. But I know I needed to get back to this. I needed to get back to doing our broadcast and helping other folks during the week that need it out there. But it's definitely, so you pray for me. It's definitely challenging. I've committed into my heart that I would not lose it and get upset. I was struggling with, you know, being frustrated earlier in the week and as getting started with everything. And I just was getting myself that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want that to happen. So I just needed the Lord's help and guidance to do that, that I not lose it, and prayed and asked God to help me not to show that frustration, but to deal with it and to acknowledge that it's there, but to deal with it and to deal with it in a biblical way and not react to the things that are happening or the stress or the trial, and just give it over to the Lord and let God strengthen me through it and get back to some normalcy with everything that I'm doing right now. And anyway, so you pray for me about that. That would be a blessing. I would appreciate that a lot if you did do that, because I need it. All right, let me say hi to everybody here first before we get started with everything today, with our broadcast here. And then I'll kind of explain things a little bit there. So Andrea is first up there. Teresa, Daryl's wife. Joe McDonald. Big Whale has come on. It's about time. Where you been hiding at anyway? Messing around, not coming on, hiding. I don't know what you're doing, but we haven't seen you for a while. In South Africa. Sandy. Carl Winters. I don't know what last butt one is. I don't know what. Whatever. Asking about some no eyed law stuff. I think they just come on here to annoy me with it, is what they do. But whatever. You better be worried more about God's laws than no eyed laws. Let me tell you something, friend. You better be more worried about the law of Christ than you are about any other laws. You get the law of Christ down, and then whatever anybody else throws at you, you're going to be able to handle. You grasp what I'm teaching to you this afternoon here, and you'll be able to handle whatever no-eyed, fro-eyed, or whatever-eyed somebody sends after you. I'm so sick and tired of people focusing on absolutely stupid things that have nothing to do with anything, that really amount to nothing, that help your growth out at about zero. It's just so ridiculous how people get caught up. It's like, it's vein jangling is what it is, and people get caught up with it. It's just so ridiculously stupid. I'm sorry, it's just dumb. And hey, we all get there. We can all get caught up into all these different things, and I know what it's like, but it's just so foolish. Like Billy Roberts, who's a troll, who asked me what I think about Megan Fox. Not much. What am I supposed to do? Focus on a slut? Why would I do that? Like, what would be the purpose to do that? What would even be my purpose to do that at all? Like, what would be the purpose to do that? Just think about that logically for a second. And I know you're a troll, so you don't think logically. You just think about your, eye porn stuff, things that you can shock people with and say things to be, just generally be annoying, to waste your life, which is really sad that people waste their lives like that on stupidity. Anyway. Christine Sinclair, good to see you on here. Brother Joshua, Jacob. Danielle, good to see you on there. Man, I come on at 3 a.m. Anyway, all right, well, so, having those pleasantries out of the way and all those greetings and all that good stuff, I know sometimes I'm just blunt about things like that, and I just really am, because I've grown to see how much time people waste on things that have absolutely nothing to do with eternity. Things that will not grow your faith. Things that will not help you at all. Right? I mean, there's guys I know that they're on there and they get lots of hits on everything because it's all current affairs. It's all current news. It's all, everything is about that. It's never really teaching Bible. It's all about what Lady Gaga's name means and stuff like that. Like, who, okay. Well, you know, some of that's fine. I get it. I do some of that sometimes. But if that's the bulk of your ministry is exposing silly sluts, if that's the bulk of your ministry is who the next apostate is, if that's all you can do, it ends up being very empty. Yeah, a lot of people listen to it, but it won't really help them deep down in their darkest time of the night when they're hurting, when they're lonely, when they want to die, when all those things come in their lives. It won't strengthen them. It won't do anything for them to know that Lady Gaga is her name means, I don't know, something stupid. Right? Just whatever. Anyway, it isn't going to help you that much. If I focus my ministry completely, again, I'm not saying it's wrong to do some of that. It isn't. It's good to expose and to warn people of evil. But when that's all you do, well, how do you teach them to be like Christ? See, my job as a pastor is to teach you to be like Christ. That's my duty as a pastor. That's why I'm not just some internet guy that offers you clickbait. That's not my duty. My duty is to prepare you for eternity. That's what a pastor does. He prepares people for eternity. My duty for the flock here is to feed the flock which is among you. And it's to feed them, to prepare them for eternity. And you know what? Sometimes that's not going to get a lot of hits. That's not going to get a lot of people watching it. But the people that do, they're going to grow. The people that do listen to what I'm going to show you today from the scriptures, they're going to grow in the Lord. And their lives are going to be more geared towards walking in spiritual truth and righteousness, instead of the latest clickbait that's out there about how this guy does some satanic ceremony. Again, I'm not saying that's all wrong, but if it's all that your heart seeks after, or the new-eyed laws, if that's the stuff that your heart seeks after, then don't wonder why you don't grow in the Lord. Don't wonder why your marriage gets shot. Don't wonder why you don't have any peace. Don't wonder why you don't know anything about the scriptures and you really can't help anybody. Don't wonder about that. Oh man, I'm telling you. I feel a video coming on right there. Clickbait Christianity. All right, I'll save that. I'll save that. Clickbait Christianity. That sounds like a good one. Anyway, we'll save that for later. Mark chapter 5, let's get into it. That is a truck talk, that's right. Amen, Carl, but you better be in love with Jesus more than you are conspiracies. Because when the flash in the pan is over, it's over, but Christ endures forever. Amen. Mark chapter 5. There's something going on here in Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed. And she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Now that's what I want you to understand right there. That virtue had gone out of him. Turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. We're going to talk about that question that was asked. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. But now look at this, what's going on. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Father, Lord, help us as we go through this this afternoon. Help us to, Lord, to learn from this. We need this. If we're a weak saint tonight or this afternoon, if we're a backslidden one, Lord, we need this holy energy, this virtue. Please help us. Please show us the way. Grant it to us through the scriptures, as you promised in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, you know, the first thing we notice is Christ did what the physicians could not do. Here's a woman that has this issue of blood, right? Which, by the way, is something, you know, very private in nature, and we'll get to that in a minute, because there's an application there for us. Christ does this miracle, though. He's on the way to do another miracle, right? He's on the way to heal this man's daughter, and then he gets stopped along the way by the crowds. The crowds stop him because they want healing. So they stop him along the way. This woman touches him. She's healed. This Jared sees this. And then someone comes and says, but your daughter's dead. Now, I happen to believe that Jesus allowed Jairus to see this so his faith would be strengthened. Sometimes God does miracles in other people's lives. He blesses them with things that you want or that you need to encourage you to hold on a little bit longer. To encourage you to wait on the Lord, because God's going to give you what you need to build your faith, to work out your patience, to show you that the Lord is going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to take care of everything that you have need of. And he's showing you that by blessing somebody else in front of you. So don't be envious of those people, but rejoice with them and see that as a sign from the Lord that God has blessed them and he's going to bless you And you just need to wait on Him, and you need to be patient to wait on the Lord. There's a great lesson there in that. For you, because sometimes you get weary in well-doing and you're weakened. And you're like, God, all these people, they're getting what they want, but I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I've begged you for, yet I've waited on you, Lord. Well, wait a little longer. Like Lester Roloff in that song sings, hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger. The testings of the Lord are pure gold. He'll take you through the fire. He'll burn off the dross and the mire. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. That's why God did this for Jairus, to increase his faith and to build his faith and to make him understand God's going to take care of your daughter. Be not afraid, only believe. When you see others blessed with what you want around you and you see them get their answers to prayer first, or they haven't been through the struggle as long as you have been in certain things, don't get discouraged by that. Be encouraged that God gave that to you as a sign that He's going to take care of you. That He's going to bless you. That He's going to meet your needs. That He did this in front of you so you could see the blessings of the Lord, so you could hold on, so your faith could increase. Amen? So that's a side lesson for those that need that holy energy, that are weak. That's a sign for you. That's an encouragement to your faith. And you should remember that. Now we have this woman who bled for 12 years straight. This is a menstrual problem, okay? She bled for 12 years straight and could get no relief from her torture. The Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. Right? She suffered a whole lot of things from many physicians. And it was rough on her. It was very rough on her. That 12 is the number of government, you know. And, you know, here she is in this bondage, this kind of bondage, right? That she's into because of sin. Now, not her sin. It doesn't mean she was in sin. I mean sin has caused sickness, pain, and death. That's what sin has caused. Sin has brought that into the world. So the answer to that is holy energy. Virtue. I'm going to teach you something that I saw. Wow, did God show me this today, and it was really cool. So I'm going to get down to that. You just hang on. Christ never wasted any time, but He made the most of every moment. You know, this woman could not be cured by the physicians. On His way to do another miracle, He's conducting one right there. It shows us that God meant us to be busy. Always about our Father's business. Always doing something. Always moving, always pressing on. But I think about this woman that's in bondage to this. She couldn't be cured by anyone. You know, it's kind of like being a sinner, as we all are. No physician can heal us on this earth. All our good works and our self-sufficiency and everything will be spent up. And we need to come empty to Christ, broken, and in our hands no price we bring, simply to the cross we cling. You know, nothing was better, but she grew worse. Every method for spiritual healing for the Christian or for the lost person besides Christ is going to lead to the condition worsening. It will lead to the condition worsening. It will not get better. Only Christ can heal the soul. We may well look at all other places, but Christ is the only way. Our situation will always get worse. Let me liken this to this. How about depression and anxiety and mental health issues and things like that? I've been through those things. I know what that's like. I know what those struggles are. I know what they're like. I had a deep bout of depression for probably 3 years. It lasted probably 3 years of my life. I know what that's like. And suffer from anxiety and a condition of anxiety. But I know that Christ is the only answer for those things. He is the only answer. God showed me that, even being a saved man and a pastor and everything else, God showed me that Christ is the only answer for all of that. I had people tell me, look, it's okay to take medicine and all these other things. No. I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Take these funny pills and they'll make you feel better. Nope, no thanks, you keep them. I'm not doing it. God said, nope, don't you do it. Don't you do it. So those that suffer from mental health or those that are weak, you feel like you have no spiritual energy. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about getting that spiritual energy. Excuse me. That spiritual energy. Well, Christ is the spiritual entity, though, isn't he? He is. But he's the power source for holy energy. And I'm going to show you that today. And man, I'm telling you what, there's some good stuff in here. There is some good stuff in here today that'll help you. You know, I know people that'll seek medicine, doctors, all kinds of things to help their mental health. But the truth is Christ is the only one that can deliver us from such things. But you know what? Then she heard of Jesus. Carrie, I'm not talking about treatments for thyroid or heart conditions or things of that nature. I'm talking about mental health, where people take pills to make their brains feel better. Or people smoke pot to make themselves feel better. I take natural remedies of things. I take CBD oil and different things like that that work naturally, but not things that get me doped up and high to artificially make me feel good about life. There's a difference. There are conditions of the heart and conditions of thyroids, which I would say that you know, there are ways to treat thyroid and heart condition without the dangerous pharmaceuticals. But no, I'm not talking about, there's the difference. I'm not swearing off all medications for any reason. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about mental health. I'm not a charismatic, because Paul showed us that he had that thorn in the flesh that Christ didn't heal. But I'm going to show you something today that's really cool about that I never saw before, but it's really cool. Anyway, so you're going to like it. For she said, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she heard of Jesus. You know what the Bible says? Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. When she heard about Jesus, she had to get to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what. Saved or lost today, you got to get to Jesus. If you're a lost person, you need Jesus Christ because you're dirty and defiled without God. And you need Jesus to save your soul. You need to touch the hem of His garment for holy energy. If you're a saved person, you need that holy energy from Jesus Christ. That holy virtue that comes out. You need that from Christ. You absolutely need it. Matthew Henry said it is usual with people not to apply themselves to Christ till they have tried in vain all other healers and find them certainly, as they will, physicians of no value. Doctors today use, and I'm talking about the form of mental health and psychotropics and things of that nature, for the most part. They pump people through so much drugs and dope and everything else and get them addicted to it and sick physically. Now, I know we have to go to doctors sometimes and all that kind of stuff. I get it. But let's talk about your soul for a moment. Let's talk about spiritual, because that's what I'm really getting at today. Your spiritual walk. Your life. Your walk with God. You know, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, she had faith, and Christ blessed her with healing. Her issue of blood was a private matter that she couldn't discuss publicly. She desired a private healing, and she received it. You know something? I want to talk to you out there today. Some of you battle some things privately. I don't mean that you're fornicating on your wife or even that you're looking at pornography, but you battle things of the mind. There's some sins in your heart that you fight, lust and other things that you're fighting. And maybe there's some things in your mind, bitterness and hatred and things of that nature, whatever it may be, that you battle with. Envy and lust and deceitfulness and whatever it may be. You just got some battles. And they're of a private nature. Maybe you were into pornography before you were saved, or you were into some bad things, and your mind tends to wander into those things, and you're battling those things, and they're of a private nature. They're not something you're going to go talk to a lot of people about. Well, this woman had a private infirmity. She had an issue of blood. She couldn't exactly go tell the whole crowd. Now, there's a reason for that in her situation. But some of you might be battling some private sins of the heart, like we all do. Secret faults in secret vaults. Things of the heart that we battle. You might be battling disobedience to your husband or obedience to the Lord in different areas, and you're finding yourself weakened in the battle and you don't have strength to fight. You don't have strength to get through everything. Your battle's more of a private nature, like this woman's was. And you're weakened. It's not something you can really talk to about to a lot of people. You're kind of ashamed to talk to it with others. Things of the heart. You might battle any of those number of things, envy or lust or, covetousness. And they're things that you need victory over. You need strength. Victory over that vice. Victory over those trials. Victory over those things that, those sins that does so easily beset you and the things that are troubling you. You know, her sin was of a private nature. If we turn to Leviticus chapter 15, we'll see why it was such a big deal. I want you to see this, why this is such a big deal. Leviticus chapter 15. Verse number 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whatsoever toucheth her, and whosoever toucheth her, shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth on upon her in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean till the even. And if it be on her bed, or on anything wherein she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. And all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed. So everything. This woman was pronounced unclean by the law. She couldn't even be around people. No high priest would touch her. No priest would talk to her. No one would touch her and lay hands on her and pray over her. She lived a very lonely and separated life, isolated from people because of what the law showed as sin that was upon her. Ceremonially, she was unclean. No one would touch her. If she couldn't, if she got near any people, she was unclean all the days of her life. Nothing could heal her. No man could. No doctor could. She went everywhere and did everything to try to get healed. She spent everything she had to try to get healed. And she was dirty and defiled by the law. And on the eighth day, right? But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days. After that, she shall be clean. But remember this, when the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So no one wanted anything to do. Do you see why she had to go to Christ privately? You know, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to talk to the Lord about privately. Things that are going on in your mind. Try to pay attention closely here and don't be distracted by the comments. Try not to chatter too much. I mean that because I want to help you, because some of you need it. There's people out there that are going to need this. They're going to need it, and you need it, and don't be distracted. There's going to be things that you're going to have to go to Christ for that you can't tell anybody about. When I was going through the deep bouts of depression and deep anxiety and things in my mind that were so troubling and so terrible and so distressful and so distraught and so evil sometimes and so vexing and so troublesome and so disastrous in my mind and so frightful and fearful and without any hope, it felt like. Such darkness that could be felt. I couldn't explain those things to anybody else. I couldn't explain the darkness. I didn't even know what was happening to me. I didn't understand what was happening to my mind. What was happening to my heart. Whether I would be completely consumed by it. Whether it would swallow me up and destroy me. Whether I would be taken by it so completely that whether I would lose my mind and never regain sanity again. By the way, I still preach through all those things by God's grace. Prayed hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. The most wicked and heinous and vile thoughts to ever enter a man's mind. The most blasphemous and terrible and awful things that played in my mind. That was initially in the beginning of that, but I suffered that depression and that for 3 years straight I suffered it. They were things of a private nature. They weren't sins that I committed against people. They weren't pornography or, you know, sexual sins or anything else like that or anything of those nature. Not that those aren't things that you have to battle or that you have to, you know, take to the Lord because you do. But I'm saying it was of a different nature. And they were gripping my mind. And taking me, and I had to take those things, they were of a private nature, and I had to take those things to the Lord. I couldn't take them to any man. Privately, I had to come, and I had to touch but the hem of His garment, and continue to push my way through the crowds to reach unto Christ. I was weak. I was tired. I was wore out. I was destitute. I needed holy energy. I needed virtue. I needed virtue. See, that's what we need. That's what she needed. She needed virtue. That's what the saints of God really need. And I'm going to explain to you how to get that here and kind of mine this truth out here. But virtue is what was needed. Her issue of blood was such of a private nature because no one would let her. And then when I sought after Christ, for a while I could not find Him. But you know what I thought was interesting? Listen to this, what God showed me yesterday. Joshua said something to me yesterday about if she touched a high priest, you know, she would be killed. And then the Lord gave me this verse when I was studying this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is the high priest that can be touched. She could not defile Him. That's why she didn't have to be afraid to touch Christ. And Christ wasn't afraid for her to touch Him. He wasn't a bit afraid of her touching Him. Because He could not be defiled by her. Because He's the high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's why He said, "Who touched me?" Someone reached out in faith and someone touched me, for I felt virtue go out of me. Plaid asked the question, but why would God give someone such horrible dreams? God didn't give you horrible dreams. Sin gives you horrible dreams. Satan gives you horrible dreams. And God gives us deliverance. God gives us power. God gives us holy virtue. Take all of the things that have ever happened to you in your life and run to the cross. Run there. Touch but the hem of His garment and you'll be made whole. She desired a private healing and she received it. You know, there are secret infirmities and things that we need delivered from that we need not speak publicly about, but we may go to Christ and in prayer touch the hem of his garment and be made whole. It says immediately she was healed. Immediately she was healed. I like what Luke says. He's a doctor. So Luke, the beloved physician, always uses medical terms, right? He uses those medical terms. I think it's verse 44. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. You know what that word staunched means? Stopped. Quenched. Dried up. Gone. Same thing with your condition. Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of him. He knew it. I want to show you something that is really cool. All right, are you ready for a lesson on the deity of Christ? All right, the first thing I'm going to show you is this. First thing I'm going to show you is what you and I are full of today. Weakness. 7 times weakness is in the King James Bible. Our bodies, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. That's Jesus, by the way. Jesus took on the form of a man. He became a man. Right? It's a picture of the incarnation of Christ. I'm going to show you something. Let's see. I think it's here. Maybe I didn't. Christ, the picture of the hypostatic union is right here. We are a mixture of weakness and virtue. Look at this. I'm going to show you something. Weakness was 7 times. Look at virtue. How about that? 7 times virtue. Weakness is answered by virtue. And where does that all culminate in? In the person of Christ. For Christ is full of virtue. That is moral goodness, moral power, an efficacious healing force, an energy from his holy nature. Christ is all holiness. Healing, spiritual healing, comes from holiness. It comes from Christ being 100% God and 100% man. He is 100% God, so his nature is 100% holy. Perfection. Holy perfection comes from Christ's nature. So when that woman went to touch the hem of his garment, she was perfectly in weakness. Number 7, complete weakness. 7 times in the King James Bible. 7 times, complete weakness. That's you and I. We are in our human nature, in our fallen nature. We are 7 times weak. Completely weak in nature. She went and touched Christ, who is 7 times in perfection, full of virtue. She needed to reach out to Christ to touch that virtue. We have all weakness. You know, Paul shows this. Paul shows this right here. I'm going to show you something. Paul talks about weakness. He's the only one that ever talks about it. He talks about it 7 times. The apostle to the Gentiles talks about weakness 7 times. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's me. That's preaching to you when I come to you. In weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. It is our sin nature. We are sown in weakness. Look at this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Christ's virtue is made perfect in my weakness. God allowed me to go through depression, anxiety, all of those things to teach me and to mold me and to make me like Christ. Because we have a high priest, not just that is full of virtue, but took on the form of man and took on weakness. He took on that weakness of the flesh. Therefore, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You see that? Strength and weakness wrapped into one. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Strength and weakness come together in perfection. My weakness, which is all that I have. God shows you the longer you're saved, you got no strength within yourself. The day you got saved, you knew you had nothing. You said, Lord, I'm going to die and go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I'm guilty before you. I'm going to die and go to a devil's hell. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and save me. Please forgive my sins. Please save my soul. And then what does Jesus do? Where he sees weakness, he can do nothing but give strength. Why? Because he has no weakness in his nature. He led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He's glorified. But he's always touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you see that? He hasn't lost that. The wounds are still there. The wounds are still there. Reach hither thy hand into my side. He never forgets that he was a man. And he came and died for our sins. That he made himself a man. But guess what? When you reach out to that holy nature of God, see, that's where that comes from. When Jesus said that, who touched me? For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. What did he mean by that? Someone touched him with faith. Someone reached out and touched him with faith and had a weakness. And Jesus said, and virtue, holiness, a fountain of holiness, gone out of him, poured out of him. He felt it. He felt holiness pour out of him. Touch someone with weakness. Do you know that's the need of the hour? When you're struggling with sin, when you're struggling with doubt, when you're struggling with fear, when you're struggling with anxieties, when you've got needs, when you're hurting, when you're going through pain, when you're battling grief, when you're going through whatever it is that you're going through, you have to but touch his garment. Because what you need is a holy energy that flows from the pure and holy nature of Christ. See, I have doubts and fears. I know you need the holiness of Christ. You need to reach out. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." You need my strength. You need my virtue. You need to touch me. You need to but touch the hem of my garment to be made whole. You need that holy strength, holy energy, when you're weak and you're tired and the fight is long and you're fighting to see your family saved, or you're fighting spiritually to stand up for what's right and to hold on to biblical truth and to live for Christ and to go to church and to serve God, and maybe you're married to a lost person and they're not saved and you're struggling with that, and your children aren't saved, and you're praying, you're seeking God's face. Well, you know what? That's how you get it. That's how you get holy energy. You seek God's face. You get to Christ. I don't care what darkness you go through, what happens to you, if you reach out to Christ in your weakness, you'll be made strong. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. That's how. Seven times weakness for us, seven times virtue from him. He gives us that power. His nature is all power. Behold, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, he said. All power. That's what you need tonight. That's what you need this afternoon. That's what you need today. You need power. You need that holy energy and power and strength to get through the battle, to face temptation, to face your adversary, the devil, who is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour, that's trying to destroy your life, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to make you discontent, trying to sow discord in your heart and your life, trying to fill your heart full of fear and anxiety and pain and depression and discouragement. You got to reach out to Christ. You got to touch Christ. You need a touch of holiness. You know, Christ is inherently holy. So when he imparted that healing, that holy healing upon those people and upon everybody, he did that by his own nature, and it did not diminish one bit of his holy nature. It did not change one bit of who Christ is. It did not change one bit of anything about him. It did not weaken him at all to put out that holiness. He just noticed it. Ah, weakness touched me, and I healed it. See, everyone else that healed or did any bit of healing physically for people, they did it by a grant from Jesus. He granted them. But in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all true holiness flows from the nature of Christ. Are you suffering? Is sin got you? Are secret sins? Are you battling secret sins of the heart? Are you backslidden right now? Ah, if you but touch the hem of his garment, if you but go to Christ, if you seek Christ, if you seek him with all your heart, if you go after him, if you run after him through the crowds, if you search after him, you will find him and he will strengthen you. He will give you that holy energy, which is what you need to battle that sin, to conquer. That's what you need. Christ is infinitely holy. Christ was never wore out by virtue going out of him. But he was exhilarated. He felt faith touch him and exercised grace and power over them. God is attracted to weakness because he has only strength. He's attracted to weakness. So then when you and I are weak, we're tired, God can send angels to come and minister unto you. God will send grace. We're not like the Catholics. We don't pray to saints or pray to angels. We pray to God. We pray to Christ. And He comforts us. You know, Jesus wanted her to make known her healing so she could be sure that Jesus healed her and bring glory to God. I thought it was interesting. John Trapp wrote something very interesting. Excuse me, that I'll share with you here. He said, why did Jesus ask that question? Who touched me? Why did He do that? Number one, to free the woman from fear, lest her conscience should call her recreant as one that had stole a cure. Number two, to make up in her what was wanting to her faith, if she should have any such thought to do so. Number three, to manifest her faith for other men to imitate. So for other men to follow, right? To see that and to be encouraged. Number four, to make known His omnisciency, and so His divinity, to prove that He was God. To confirm the ruler's faith that was watching, that lost his daughter, and so fit him for further mercy. To teach her and us that not his garment, but himself did the cure. And this makes against that popish foppery in worshiping relics, as the sinden wherein Christ's body was enwrapped, of the virtue whereof Pilatus, Archbishop of Benani, set forth a great book. So anyway, what is he saying? He's saying that the reason he did that was to make known that it wasn't some relic that healed her. It was Jesus himself that healed her. It was Christ that did that. It was Christ that healed her. And it is Christ who heals you. And that will heal you, that will give you strength and victory. I like something Spurgeon said about this. It's very good, actually. He said, if you, dear child of God, feel very depressed this morning, cold-hearted, dead, sluggish, if you touch but His clothes, you shall become warm-hearted again. You shall get all your life and vigor and enthusiasm back again if you only draw near to your Lord. Do I hear you say, I seem so full of doubts, so depressed in spirits, so unhappy. I trust I am converted, but I cannot rejoice. Then, brother, get a fresh hold of your Lord. For if you touch but His clothes, you shall be made whole of the plague of doubting. Only draw near to Jesus, your risen Lord, by a prayer or a believing thought, and it is done. Be it ever so slight a touch, you shall be made whole. Perhaps you say, I feel so discouraged in my Christian work, and even feel as if I must give it up. I have seen no conversions lately, and therefore I cannot go about my work with the spirit I once had. Brother, you are falling into a spiritual lethargy. But if you but touch your Lord again, you shall be made whole. Did not the Lord Jesus heal you at first? He can heal still. He loses no virtue when He gives forth His power. If a master takes a scholar and fills him full of wisdom, the master is just as wise afterwards as he was at first. And when our Lord grants us a fullness of grace, He remains just as full of grace as He was originally. Come to Him, then, you downcast saints. Come now, come always. If any of you have backslidden, if you have become altogether wrong and out of sorts, if your spiritual digestion is bad, if your spiritual eyes are dim so that you cannot see afar off, if your knees are weak and if your hands hang down, if your whole head is sick and your heart faint, yet still if you touch but your Lord's garments, you shall be made whole. This wonderful medicine has boundless power to restore from relapses as well as to heal the first disease. I cannot help reminding you of the church at Laodicea, which was in a horrible state. that our Lord himself said he must spit it out of his mouth. And yet he added, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Communion is a cure for lukewarmness. When you have fallen so low that even Christ himself is sick of you, and it must be a very bad case when he becomes sick of a church. Yet even then, if you but sup with him, and he with you, all will be well. Only get into communion with him, who has life in himself, and your own life shall become full of vigor. O dear children of God, if you have fallen into an unhappy state, put in practice the example of the woman, and see whether Jesus is not still the same. A touch is a very simple matter, but do not therefore doubt its value. As for you who fear that you are not his children, behold, I set before you an open door this morning, and I pray God that you may be enabled to enter it. If you touch but the Redeemer's clothes, you shall be made whole. Whatever the transgression, the iniquity, the sin of which you have been guilty, come into contact with the bleeding lamb and you shall be forgiven. You need not even so much as touch, for there is life in a look. A look will set up sufficient contact to bring salvation. Look unto me and be you saved, all ye ends of the earth. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Do but look. Do but get out of yourself to him somehow or other, and it is done. Though a glance will not carry a thread as thin as a spider's cobweb, yet it will establish a connection. The ray of light which comes from Jesus, wounds to your eye will be link enough, and along it eternal salvation will come to you. Get to Christ, sinner. Get to Christ at once. Have you come to him? Then you are saved. Confess your faith and give Jesus honor. Love him with all your heart, and while angels are rejoicing over you, do you be glad also. Christ has saved you. Praise him forever and ever. May the Lord add his blessings for Jesus' sake. Amen. He said in another sermon, how often have these eyes seen the despairing that have been on the verge of madness cheered and comforted till they have sung for joy of heart? How frequently have I seen the coward made brave, the morose made gentle, the revengeful made forgiving by coming into contact with Jesus? You cannot love my Lord and love sin. You cannot trust my Lord and yet delight yourselves in iniquity. Only get near to him and he will begin a cure upon your character, and before long will perfect it in you. If your malady should be a delight in the pleasure of the pursuits of this world, he will teach you not to love the world nor the things of it. Do you suffer from selfishness? He shall teach you to deny yourself. His lance and nails and cross shall crucify you with himself, till self-seeking shall die. Are you afflicted with a sloth that will not let you be active? My master's zeal shall fire your soul, till, like he, you shall be consumed with energy. I do not care what your fault is, my brother or my sister, but this I know, there is power in my divine Lord and Master to redeem you from that fault. He can destroy evil and create good. Behold, he makes all things new. Amen and amen. That is the work of Christ. That's what he does. God is well pleased when we touch him with our weaknesses in prayer, and then we make known his deliverance. You know, God wanted confession. You know, some of you may be saved by the grace of God, and some of you may have never made an open profession of faith and been baptized scripturally in a New Testament Baptist church. God requires confession. I don't mean confession of your sins. I mean confession of your Savior. That you're not ashamed to confess him before men. So many out there don't want to join a local New Testament church. They don't want to go be baptized and identify with the Lord and his church. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Some have no peace because they've never declared the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never made a public profession of faith in Christ Jesus. They've never been scripturally baptized and walked in obedience to the Lord. They've never done that before. They wonder why they have not grown in the Lord the way they should. Well, if you wish to grow in the Lord, you should grow in obedience. This woman had to make known. Right? You know, Christ looked around. He said he looked around about him and said, "Who touched me?" He looked around about them. You know, sometimes a look is more of a rebuke than even words are. When you're a child and your mother, your father give you that look. Like Jesus gave Peter that look when Peter denied him. As saved people, we need to go to Christ more and more. We need forgiveness of sins. We need strengthened. I'm going to give you just a few things here in closing. Some bullet points, if you will, to help you. Number one, we must confess all to Christ and hold back nothing. Christ is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He made himself a man, yet he was God. We must confess all to Christ. We won't make him blush. Confess all your sins and all your fears and all your doubts and all your trials and everything to Jesus. Pour all your soul out to him. Number two, we must realize all moral purity. And that word virtue, which is a moral purity and an energy and a strength and a power, all of that comes from the nature of Christ. All that excellency of holy energy, that virtue, it comes from the person of Christ. Not following a system of Christianity, but from Christ, his person. Get to know Jesus. Get to know him more and more. We must realize that. We must remember that and be reminded of that. That you are to have a close walk with Jesus Christ. The person. The God-man, Christ Jesus. You're to have a closer walk with him. You're to walk with him and have intimate fellowship with him. You're to touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Number three, we must pray. Prayer is what brings us into contact with Christ. We must pray. We must pray without ceasing. We must pray often. We must pray early and we must pray late. We must pray. You will never be healed or get strength if you are weak or if you are backslidden or if you are a weak Christian if you do not pray. Prayer is God's ordained method of victory. It is God's weapon that he gave to us. It is the offensive weapon, is one of the offensive weapons that is in our spiritual weaponry in Ephesians chapter 6. We must pray. Prayer is so needed. You will never get over your doubts and fears. You will never be strengthened in heart. You will never come back from backslidings or your cold-heartedness unless you pray. You will never. And you must seek God's face in his word. You must let God speak to you through his word. You will never get that holy energy from God if you don't reach out to Christ, who is the Word, and let him feed your soul, and then you speak to him. Number four, we must believe by faith that Christ is able to heal us, no matter what your infirmity is. Now, God chooses not to heal some things. He chooses to give grace to us with our weakness. But when it's sin, God never wants you to sin. He might give you a weakness and a trial, but you know what? The weaknesses that God gave me, or God allowed me to have, I should say, through my own things that happened, but through depression and anxiety and things like that, those conditions that God allowed me to have never caused me to get into sin. They didn't make my life more in sin. They didn't lead me to sin against God. They led me in paths of righteousness, because that infirmity My grace, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. They were infirmities that God allowed. We're not talking about sinful things. Sin is to be repented of. It's to be prayed against. And we're to seek that holy energy. You know what you need? You need more of Christ in you. You need to give yourself more over to Christ. You have all the Christ you're going to have in you. Christ seals you unto the day of redemption. But you need to give yourself more over to Christ, and you need to touch the hem of his garment. And you must exercise faith. You must believe that Christ is able to heal you. You know, the Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means with steady application, care, with industry, not carelessly, not negligently, but you go after it. Let me tell you something. If you're not going to work on your relationship with God, you're not going to get that holy energy that you need. You're not going to get strengthened for your weakness. You have a weakness and you have an infirmity. You have weaknesses, you have infirmity, and sometimes you're backslidden and you have sins. And you're not going to get strengthened if you're not diligently seeking Christ. Because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means on purpose. It means on purpose. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. How about that? How much more the King of Kings? You'll be in the presence of the King of Kings if you're diligent to be so. Constant effort. Listen, if you're going through depression, anxiety, heartache, pain, backsliding, whatever it is, whatever ails you, whatever weakness you have, whatever infirmities you have, whatever trials you have, and you think it's going to be okay to read one verse a day, not get in your Bible, not study it, and if you read one verse but you study it out and you're doing something with it, meditating upon it and growing, that's fine. I'm not saying there has to be a certain amount of volume. What I'm saying is you've got to seek God's face. You can't be watching the stupid television, watching a bunch of internet videos, watching how Lady Gaga is three times a devil and all this other stuff, and studying out the no-eyed laws all the time and all that other stuff when your brains are melting on a sidewalk like an egg when it's 100 degrees outside, and that's what's going on in your life, and you don't want to seek Christ's face. You want to be taken up with vain jangling and everything else. Well, you're not going to get the power you need. You're not going to get the strength you need. First of all, you're trying to get it on your own. You don't think you need Christ to give you that moral power, that holiness, that holy energy from Christ. You're not seeking it. You're not looking for it. You're not desiring it. And you're not going to get it either. I know what I'm talking about because I've lived it. I see it in the scriptures. I've lived it. And I've also watched people get carried away with nonsense. I've watched them do it. I've watched them get carried away with conspiracies and they don't grow in the Lord. They never grow. They're always chasing some other conspiracy down. They don't study who Christ is. They don't grow in the Lord. They don't get strength. And they're weak. And they're depressed. And they're discouraged. And they're feeble. And they're ready to give up. I've seen men falling away everywhere. I saw a preacher that was just that one of my friends ordained and sent overseas, and then he comes back to America and he says, "I'm no longer a Christian. I don't want to talk about the Bible anymore. If any of the brothers try to talk to me about the Bible, I'm going to get violent and we're going to get in a fight." He fell away. See, you need holy energy. You need strength from God. Christ took on the weakness of us, that seven times weakness of us, and became a man to give us that seven times holy virtue that only He could give us. All embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, who was perfect and sinless and gave us victory. So you and I could live in this life and get holy energy. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That is guaranteed victory. In my weakness. Amen. And number six, how God's people need to fall down trembling before Him for strength from their faults, from their vices or sins, or for their fears or their infirmities that they possess. Christ will comfort His people if they will call to Him and seek Him diligently. And, you know, lastly, I think the one thing this reminds me of is the violent take it by force. That's the last bullet point. The violent take it by force. If you want spiritual healing, if you want spiritual strength, if you want the Lord to give you joy and peace and comfort in the Holy Ghost, if you want all those things, then guess what you have to do? The violent take it by force. Spiritually running after it. Spiritually, diligently going after it. And seeking God's strength. And seeking God's face. May God grant that your heart be tuned to that. May God grant that your heart be fixed on that. That that is your true desire.
Church of God, be saved to save.
faith has stalled the stream that flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue
song here, and if anybody wants to say hi, then I got to get out of here. If you want to say hi, then please do so now. I'll play this song here, and then we'll get out of here. I got to get going. I got a lot to do.
Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away. Steal away. Steal away to Jesus. Steal away. Away home, I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me, He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord, He calls me, He calls me by the lightning. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay.
I ain't got long to stay here either. I got to get out of here. So, God bless you all. And you pray for us. Continue to pray for us. I'd appreciate it. If you want to support our ministry, you may do that at Salvation Preacher. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com for PayPal. Or Pastor Cooley at iCloud.com, same PayPal address. Or you can do Apple Pay. That's another way. Or you can mail us something if you'd like to. Either way, pray for us. We'd appreciate it. You know, praise the Lord for all that the Lord allows us to. The next broadcast will probably be Monday afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. I believe that'll be the time. I've got some things to do in the morning, but should be 2 o'clock Central Time on Monday. Okay, so we will talk to you then. God bless you all. Take care. Have a good weekend. Oh, I might go live out there on the streets. And out there on the streets tomorrow, we'll probably go ahead and do a live video out there at the event. So look for that. And maybe a truck talk if I get some time. We'll see. I'm going to at least do 2 next week. I don't know if I'm going to do 3. It just depends on how much time I have to do everything. I don't know right now. I've got a lot going on. And if Monday doesn't work, it'll be Tuesday, because I'm supposed to go pick up something with my truck, too, so I got to figure that out. But we'll figure it out. I'll let you know, but not quite back to normal yet, that's for sure, whatever that is. Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. Have a good night. Have a good weekend.